The time now is almost 1 p.m., which means the positive mind is about to begin. Once again, this is WBAI New York and WBAI.org on the web. Stay tuned for the positive mind coming up.
Kevin O'Donohue here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life, giving you a break from all the politics and all the suffering out there, giving you a little space, a little break for your mental health. And if you listened yesterday, you heard Brenda Shoshana talking about feelings, talking about anger. And I don't know about you, Kevin, but I learned a lot from Brenda. In that show.
I did too, and I love that she demonstrated it on the air. How often do you have like a demonstration going and doing, you know, and people learn by doing. So there she had us doing it, and I felt like I got it. And so did you out there, because we got plenty of calls talking about letting it go, releasing, and wanting to join her workshop, and there'll be further information about that later, but wanting to get in touch with this technique, the Sedona method of simply releasing feelings.
And it's a scary thing, right? Because as we were talking about yesterday, it's so easy to become identified with our emotions and oftentimes our most intense and most extreme emotions. And these become a part of our identity. And Brenda told us about how it can be a dangerous thing when your anger or your rage becomes your identity. And it's how you see yourself and how you relate to the world.
Yeah, and also your membership in families. If you have an angry family and if you give up your anger, she talked about how that is actually a service to the family, that you're actually more present for them. And I believe that's true. I come from a very big family, 9 brothers, 5 sisters. And I see that if I do not get caught up in the emotions there and just in my natural self, there's much more of me available, and I get less caught up in the confusion of so many people.
So the greatest takeaway for me, Kevin, was how Brenda told us you are senior to your anger. You are senior to your emotions, right? All these difficult and negative and trying emotions, they are not the boss of you. They don't run you. They're passing through you. And the challenge and the struggle is to learn how to release those feelings, to learn how to not let them have say in your life, right? To feel them, to release them, and move on. So that really was a big point for me.
And don't judge them, you know? Right. I mean, that's, you know, Brenda is a beautiful soul. She, if anything else, being with her, you learn not to judge yourself and not obviously judge any feelings you're having. You're having a feeling, right? And she says it so simply. Okay, just welcome it. You're having the feeling. Just welcome it. Say thank you. And, you know, she kept doing that. And I found myself, like, hearing her in my ear later in the day. Okay, you know, just welcome it. No judgment. And so there's the secret, I think, not judging yourself for whatever you're feeling. It's just a feeling.
The other thing that fascinated me, Kevin, was the notion of the physiological effects of anger. And it's very much like a drug, like a stimulant, an amphetamine.
Yeah,
anger gets you rip-roaring, ready to go. It gets you really intense. I mean, it raises your blood pressure. You know, it can make your face flush, right? It gets your juices pumping. Your adrenaline is going crazy. And then there's a crash, right? After the anger, there's this crash. And I wonder if you can understand and relate to that. And just to recap, you are listening to The Positive Mind. We thank you for tuning in. You may have noticed yesterday we did have some brief technical difficulties, and those appear to have been sorted out. So we're very glad to be back with you. And we are going to be taking your calls today for the first time in a while. We're very excited because we have a new phone system here that is going to enable us to hopefully take more of your calls.
Yeah.
And we're ready to test that today for the first time. So bear with us because we will be doing that a little bit later on in the show.
You bring up a good point, though, about feelings there. You know you're having a feeling when you feel something, when you're physically feeling something. That's something we often do in therapy, is where is the feeling in your body? What's the nature, the texture, the feel of this feeling? Does it have a stickiness to it? Does it have a sponginess?
I'm really tired, and I feel it in my face, and it feels hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a feeling. It's hot out, and so you're feeling hot. Are you feeling irritated?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, we should turn the air conditioning on.
Yes, on a scale of 1 to 5, how irritated are you?
I'd say a 3.
A 3, so you're pretty hot under the collar right now.
Yeah,
well, if I could jump out of the room and turn on the AC, I would do that, Benjamin, but I'm sorry, not today. So you just have to bear with it. Maybe we can throw in a little gladness in there today. So we're also going to review, through Armand, we're going to review these basic feelings that we all have. And he does a very interesting experiment with people. And it's very helpful to start saying, on a scale of 1 to 5, or 1 to 100, what percentage of you is feeling sad today? What percentage of you is feeling angry today?
The awareness is key.
It is key. And Brenda showed us that.
And not only is the awareness key, but then the knowledge and the confidence that none of these feelings is bigger than you. You're the boss of the feelings.
Right.
It's okay to let them pass through. It's okay to feel them. It's normal. But when we let them run our life, that's where we start getting
into
trouble.
And when you don't ask yourself the question, what am I feeling? How much of it am I feeling?
Right. Checking in with yourself.
How much further do I want to allow this feeling? Sometimes you want to allow gladness for sure, joy for sure, pleasure for sure, to last as long as it can. And sometimes you want to maximize the amount you can. So that's all great. But, unless you're aware of it, it can go and turn differently as quickly as it came.
So we got great feedback from you on the Brenda Shoshana show, and we also got some great feedback on the show that we did on Armand's birthday.
Lovely.
Very glad to hear from you on that. We're going to bring you a very short segment of Armand talking about this topic that we spoke with Brenda about yesterday and that we've continued the conversation on today. So have a listen. We will be taking your calls a little bit later. Take a listen to this clip and let us know what you think. And you can give us a call at 212-757-5555 if you want to talk about your feelings, what you've been struggling with, and how you release that emotion, how you deal with your anger. Are you senior to your anger, or do you let your anger run you? Let us know. 212-757-5555. We'll be back after this.
Should you follow your feelings? Now, that's a question that very often is asked. A man falls in love with a man goes through midlife crisis. He goes through midlife crisis and he meets somebody 20 years his junior. And he says to her or him, I'm in love with you, therefore I'll leave my wife and leave my children and I'm going to follow my feelings. Okay, a woman, same thing on the other side, meets this older man who suddenly turns his all attention. And her heart tells her, well, you've got a husband and a baby, but leave them and go follow him. Follow your feelings. Is that what your feelings are? Is there a difference between feelings of the heart and feelings of the gonads? Are they different feelings or are they the same feeling? I mean, I could tell you how many times I've seen men believe that they were in love when they found the perfect sexual partner. And they find the sexual partner and they see they have this terrific response to the sexual partner and they just feel they're in love. They're ready to get married. That's it. So how do you identify what your feelings are and what should you do regarding your feelings? Should you follow your feelings? The answer is no. No, do not follow your feelings. But learn to identify your feelings as they happen. Learn to be able to identify them, to see what they are, to understand them. All feelings are reactions. And it's hard to know to what you're reacting. So you can't say just because you have a feeling, you can't say, oh, I'm having a reaction. What am I reacting to? Usually something not conscious triggers a feeling reaction. But when I'm talking about feelings, first let's look at the feelings that I want you to identify. Now, here's a category. I've done this before, and I want you to write these down. These are five simple words. And if you take these five words and ask yourself these all the time, you'll find yourself getting a little clearer with what you feel when you feel it. The words are sad. Now, I'm going to give you five words, but I'm going to tell you the following. There is no such thing as a pure feeling. Very often people go to their shrinks, and they go to their shrinks, and shrink says, what are you feeling? And they said, I was feeling mad. And the shrink gives you their approval or doesn't give you their approval according to what the shrink wants you to feel or be reporting. You know, the Fed, they say, well, what's underneath the mad? Oh, sad. All right, well, what's underneath the sad? Oh, scared. You know, and then you get the approval and pay your money and go home. No, it doesn't work like that. I believe that all feelings are a combination of feelings. So you could be feeling sad, mad, glad, bad, and scared all at the same time. This is a simplification, but it's worth it. Write these words down. Sad, mad, glad, bad, and scared. Sad. You know what it is to feel sad, right? Sad is always a sense that something is lost. And you can feel it. It goes through your bones. Sad. Everything drops away. You have tears in your eyes. You don't feel like you have any power. Sad. Mad. There are many different forms of mad. You could be angry for any number of times. But anything could be mad. We're going to get back to these. But it's mostly anger. Glad. A good feeling. When you feel good about in any positive way, glad. Bad, which is when you're putting yourself down and you feel dejected. And scared is the other one. So at any given moment, if I would ask you right now, if you were listening, how much of you can you identify feeling sad? I got you, Julian, right here. Hey, of the sad, mad, glad, bad, scared, and I'm not going to ask you to give details, what percentage of you would you say is sad right now?
30%.
30% sad. What part of you is mad, percentage-wise?
5 or 10, maybe.
5 or 10, low. Okay. How about glad?
30, 35.
Another 30, huh? Yeah. And how about bad?
10, pretty low.
And scared?
Whatever's left there, but...
I'm afraid I can't remember.
20%.
Okay, so look at what you're saying. You're saying you could be sad and glad in equal amounts at a given time.
Definitely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Whereas if somebody would ask you, hey, you look sad, you would focus on the 30% sad.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're happy, and then you would focus on that. And if somebody asks you to focus on one or the other, you would focus on that as your primary
feeling.
Right,
you find it in yourself because it's all there.
And it's the primary feeling you'd focus on, but they'd miss out on the fact that I see you feeling all these other ways. I know Julian by now, and I know I can see if you say it. Oh, yeah, I can see that, I can see that, I can see that. Now, it's much better that you tell me because I wouldn't have seen or necessarily even looked for, but now that I hear it.
Hmm.
I could be sensitive to all of it. That gives me an opportunity to see you and know you better. See, that gives me a chance to stop and slow down and say, okay, let's keep in mind this is what my buddy's got. It's very hard to understand this, but I'm going to try to get it to you so that you can. There is a little part of the brain called the amygdala. This little part of the brain, the amygdala, is the seat of all anxiety.
Anxiety. So you've just heard Armand Mill, and that was Julian Joiello as well, talking
There's
about anger.
An old voice.
Our buddy Julian, who, by the way, if you are a longtime listener, then you know that Julian is in a Netflix show, which has just been released, and he's playing the lead in this show alongside Julie Andrews, Mary Poppins herself. Mm-hmm. It's really astonishing. It's very surreal watching him in that. But we love Julian. We're super excited for, you know, this next chapter of his career. So, again, the number to call is 212-757-5555. We're talking about anger today.
Well, we're talking about feelings, and he says it's a great way to know where your buddy's at. You know, if you ask your buddy, I mean, have you ever done that, Ben? Like, you know, how angry are you? How sad are you? Or in this whole context, I mean, that's one thing Brenda was doing. She said, you can ask somebody what they're feeling and process it with them. Say, okay, can you welcome that feeling? Welcome the feeling. Say, thank you for being. Now, can you let that feeling go? And so if you're having a friend who says,
that's the hardest part for most people.
Yeah, I'm really angry. But if you are with them and you're asking them, then they will, you know, then you're inviting them to release it. And, you know, that's, Armand is suggesting that's like a really great way to be a friend with somebody. And Brenda was telling me, you know, they go to these releasing parties. You know, it's like they go out to dinner and, you know, the workshop people go out to dinner and they're releasing like at the dinner table when they're in the restaurant. Like, okay, so you have that feeling. Now welcome that feeling. Have the full feeling. You know, can you locate a place in you where there's a trap door and the feeling can just drop through? And Armand is saying, do not trust your feelings. You know, do not invest or change your life because of your feelings.
Right, because the nature of our feelings is that they are a reactionary instinct.
Yeah.
We're reacting to the world around us instead of being proactive, and feelings cause us to do a lot of things that maybe are not so rational, that maybe are not so well thought out, that maybe aren't so beneficial in the long run.
Yeah.
And so that's the danger in acting on those feelings, in acting on that impulse, is that we risk alienating others, we risk alienating ourselves, and we risk doing a lot of damage based on a moment of rage or a moment of jealousy or a moment of despair.
Yeah, and so there's a time to welcome the feeling, have the feeling, experience the feeling, but not react to the feeling. So it's like a reaction to a reaction. If a feeling is a reaction, and then you go and act on the feeling, you're reacting to the reaction.
This is why, Kevin, that people in recovery programs who, you know, are starting to get help are often told, don't make any changes in the first year.
Good point, Ben. Really good point.
This is something that's been hammered on again and again and again.
Yeah.
Because people who are at that stage of recovery, it's still very new. There are a lot of emotions coming up constantly, daily, hourly, by the minute even. And the advice is just don't make any major life changes for a year. After a year, the idea is that the sobriety is there. There's enough clarity to really evaluate. There's enough experience with having felt these feelings.
Good point.
Releasing
really
them,
good point.
Letting them go, and being senior to the emotions,
yes.
as Brenda said yesterday.
And we would love a caller today, either in the second part of the show or even at the end of the first half, talking about this thing. If you have been in recovery and recognize this is critical, really, to the recovery. And this really determines, I think, those who do recover and those who don't. Because, yes, the alcohol, the drugs, the addiction covered over all the things that you haven't wanted to feel.
Sure.
Because you weren't taught. You didn't learn.
Next week, we're going to be talking about ways to manage and process those feelings with a couple shows about cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah.
Which seems to be on the tips of everyone's tongues these days, CBT.
Yeah.
And we're going to explore that with you, and we're going to really delve into that on Tuesday. So we look forward to that.
Which becomes interesting, CBT, you can have a thought about a feeling.
Sure.
You can condemn yourself for having that feeling. And so with cognitive behavioral therapy, we take charge of our thoughts and recognize where these thoughts go to. What's the source? And next week you'll learn there are basically two places that these thoughts come from. So that's the really exciting thing about cognitive behavioral therapy, which we'll talk about next week.
And anyone who's ever grieved for a deep loss, which is, you know, I think all of us at some point or another, can relate that there comes a time in the grief process where you kind of get over the hump, right? It's no longer every day, you know, dwelling on this emotion where it gets to semi-normal, yeah. and then there's this weird guilt about feeling okay, you know? Like, why am I now feeling okay?
Yeah. It's like you've lost the person you were grieving for.
Yeah.
Now they're really gone.
Right.
So the grief was sort of the substitute
sure.
for them actually going, and as if they hadn't really gone. And people, you know, someone did call yesterday about my point that grief is a verb. It's something you do. So when you, you know, if you're having grief, you know, Brenda was saying it's much better to look at it, allow it, feel the fullness of the grief. Rather than have it sound, you know, separate, you know, surround your whole life for time after time after time, that you can process this feeling. And yes, it'll come back. It'll come back, but you'll be getting the practice of letting these feelings go. So grief is a verb, and you are senior to it. Sometimes it feels like the grief is senior to my small self that's sort of wrapped up around or inside this grief.
Sure.
You know, so cognitive behavioral therapy will be great, talking about that, and the nature of feelings and how thinking transforms feeling into a thought that, you know, we also react to.
What about you out there? How do you deal with feelings that are challenging? Do you confront them? Do you hide from them? You run from them? There are a lot of different tactics that people take, and I think it's an evolutionary response in many cases
sure.
in terms of how we deal with them. But we're interested in hearing from you and how you approach your feelings. Do you get stuck? Is there a specific emotion that gets you blocked?
Or how about this? Have you had a moment where you've been in a feeling and you actually stopped and stood to the side of the feeling? Because one thing Brenda was saying is that you have to see the feeling. You have to fully feel the feeling. So that's why she's saying welcome it, invite it all in. And as we were doing that, I did feel off to the side of the feeling. And then I could, you know, watch it.
Like an observer?
Like an observer. And this is very useful with cognitive behavioral therapy, where you see the thinking, see the thought. I see myself afraid of death. I see death, and it frightens me. So that's progress. I mean, that's important to start with this, because then there's a dichotomy between my thinking and me. It's not I'm identified with my thought. I'm not identified with my thought. I'm not identified with my feeling. So that exercise we were doing in the studio, see yourself off to the side of the feeling. Now I can choose. Now I can choose to release it. I can choose to let it go. Great tool. It's a great, great tool. So how about you? Are you mad maybe 30% and glad maybe 15% or glad 40%?
Or maybe you're mad 90%. What do you think is the most challenging feeling that people have to deal with? Is it anger?
Anxiety.
I think anxiety more so than
yes,
anger?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we'll see in this second clip that
so
we're going to be playing.
Would you wrap up fear along with that anxiety? Fear and anxiety
of course.
In the,
yes,
same,
yeah,
in the
yeah.
same.
Yeah. So
category.
Scared is like another word for anxious.
Of course.
Anxiety is a form of scared.
But you would say that people on the whole, people that you deal with,
yeah.
have a harder time confronting anxiety than their own anger.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because anger is more accessible or why?
There's an empowerment feeling to anger. You know, it's like a raw kind of, you know, your breathing gets deeper with anger. I mean, physiologically, there's all sorts of responses that make it feel like evolutionarily why this is a good feeling. We needed this feeling to ward off, you know, predators. And so it's pretty natural for us to turn to it. So we don't want to not have it.
But
anxiety is another story. Anxiety
isn't the fear and anxiety also, you know, a defense mechanism to ward off predators?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you're not scared of, if you're a caveman and you're not scared of the saber-toothed tiger, it's not going to end well, right?
For sure. I think anxiety, though, is epidemic now. I'm sure the caveman had his anxiety, but he went out and did something about it. You know, they went out and got their food and they went and got their shelter. Now we have our shelter and we have our food and we're still anxious. So I think it's epidemic at this point. So, you know, if you ask people, how many times did you feel anxiety today? You know, people will say 20, 30 times. If you say, how about anger? Well, maybe four times, three or four times today. So, you know, it's, but anxiety is juice too. Anxiety is energy. And that's, you know, one of the things people hear in this second clip about Armand saying, we would prefer another feeling to the anxiety. So we transform anxiety into sadness.
Or anger.
Or we transform it into anger.
Anger is a great cover, you know. You can throw anger on top of any emotion and decide to feel anger instead, right? In the case of grief, we were just talking about grief, and just think about it this way. You have a choice. You can be despondent and sad over the grief, or you can mask it with anger. Right? This isn't fair. Why is this happening to me? Yeah. What are anger at the person for you know, why are you abandoning me by dying? Yeah. You know, we've talked about that a lot.
And in therapy, we welcome that change, that shift. We want you to get angry because grief is so deadening. You know, it kind of disables you. That when you're progressing through anger, you're making a shift. You're getting back your energy.
And the anger might be a layer of the onion to peel back to get to the real emotion in a lot of cases.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, sometimes it's not just the death of the person that you're grieving, but it's death in itself. I mean, when you peel back the onion, you get down to this existential fear of your own death. And so it's easier and it's better to grieve somebody who actually went than to have to worry about your own death. And that's what happens often in therapy also.
I couldn't agree more. Listen, we're going to be taking your calls a little bit after the musical break, so give us a ring now. We want to test our phone system. We had a few calls come in, and unfortunately we are not the WBAI studio here. We are the Positive Mind, so we're taking calls related to the show. And not general radio station related questions today.
Right.
But the number is 212-757-5555.
And it's great to see we could take multiple calls.
Yeah, it's 212-757-5555. We want to know how you deal with your emotions. Do you cover your sadness with anger? Is there an emotion that you're stuck on? Right? Tell us about it. We want to
release with us. Come on and release with us.
212-757-5555. You know, a good point, Kevin, is that a lot of times feelings are just a reaction. You know, they're a reaction.
Yeah.
And it's a reaction to an external stimuli. So a lot of times I think these are reactions to things that are completely out of our control. And that's a real challenge because every day, you know, we're up against countless things that are totally out of our control. And I'll give you an example. A couple years back, I was going to visit some friends in St. Louis. And I was very excited to go see them. I had a long weekend. It was Thursday through Sunday. I was taking a few days off work and going to see some friends out in St. Louis. And as another activity to do, I found out that Chuck Berry played a weekly residence at a famous place in St. Louis called Blueberry Hill. So I got tickets for myself and my friends. And I had a flight leaving LaGuardia that was going to land in St. Louis with just enough time to get to this Chuck Berry show at Blueberry Hill. And lo and behold, I get to LaGuardia, and every Delta flight is delayed 3 hours. Now, I knew instantly there was no way I was going to make this show. And it was a huge disappointment. And instead of getting sad or disappointed or feeling bad, I got angry. You know, I was angry at Delta. I was angry at LaGuardia. I was angry at myself for not choosing a different airline or flying out of JFK or Newark. But here was the situation. I was obviously disappointed, and I went to the anger. And this was a situation that was completely out of my control. Now, fast forward to right now, and, you know, Chuck Berry dies. And all of that feeling of having missed that concert and missed out on that experience just came right back when I heard that Chuck Berry died.
Mm.
Hadn't even really thought about the situation, and then I read the news, and it just came all rushing right back.
So you had the physiological response. Did you release it, Ben? There's the question. You know, how many years later is this? 2 years later? And you're having the physiological response, but are you able to release it now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's, you know, I'm never going to get to see him now. It's okay. So I can let go of that. You know, there's no sense in me holding on to that. I have definitely made an attempt to avoid flying Delta since then just because of that bad experience. But yeah.
Well, okay. Well, we'll talk about reason and logic and thinking at another time because it wasn't Delta's fault probably. But anyway, that's a different story. So we're going to take a musical break. And you are calling us, and we appreciate it. We have you on hold, so hang on. We have Rick on the line who will come through after our musical break, and we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
All right. So, yeah. Again, you're listening to The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM, WBAI, and we'll be back after this short musical break.
My baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile. My curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio. With no particular place to go. Riding along in my automobile. I was anxious to tell her the way I feel. So I told her softly and sincere. She leaned and whispered in my ear, cuddling more and driving slow, with no particular place to go. Place to go. So we parked way out on the Kokomo. The night was young and the moon was gold. So we both decided to take a stroll. Can you imagine the way I felt? I couldn't unfasten a safety belt. Riding along in my calaboose. Still trying to get her belt loose. All the way home I held a grudge for the safety belt that wouldn't budge. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go.
Chuck Berry here on WBAI.
You just had to play him.
Yeah, it was just right there. And I just want to say we are kind of learning our new phone system on the fly here. It's a trial by fire, learning as we go. So we're really we're doing our best here. But I think that we have Ray on the line. Ray, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, great. We got it. It's working.
Oh, okay.
How's everything, Ray?
That's good.
Very good. Yeah, I was just listening to your show, and yeah. Well, I feel things pretty strongly. You know, I feel I'm an empath. So, but unlike a lot of empaths, many empaths can sink into depression.
Wow. You get a lot of practice with being an empath. Right?
Well,
I mean, how useful can this tool be? Did you listen to us yesterday?
I didn't catch the show yesterday.
Oh, well, go on WBAI and listen to yesterday's show because it's a great tool. Empaths are feeling all the time. So a lot of people envy empaths because they don't have access to their feelings at all, but empaths are feeling all the time. That's what it means to be an empath. Is that right? I mean, is that how you feel it?
Well, yeah. And what I feel, what I seem to be tuned into is the pain in this world.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I can feel it, you know, and I go around and I look at this stuff and I...
So I'm going to help you out today. Hang on a second. Let me ask you. On a scale of 1 to 100, how big is the pain, carrying this pain?
Oh, you know, let me just say it's constant, okay?
Okay.
It's like if something happens in a country somewhere and I see it,
You've called us before, Ray. I remember you now.
Yeah, no, I've talked to you guys before.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I feel it. And, I mean, you learn, what I've learned over the years is I try not to get into a lot of stuff with a lot of the stuff that goes on the job or whatever. I stay away from it because you just get sucked into it. And then.
So anger is not your problem.
No, anger is a problem.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Okay, because I have this whole thing, and I've had this thing my whole life with justice. Okay?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. So look, let me interrupt you, because I do know you, and I remember you, and I love that you're walking this planet with all these feelings. Unfortunately, it's pain a lot of the time, but you have to have some gladness in your heart somewhere.
Oh, I feel everything strongly. So,
yeah.
I mean, I love children, and when I when I'm talking about children, you know, when give me like a 3-year-old child, a 4-year-old child, and I connect, I'm right in their world. Okay.
Yep.
I connect great with them, and it brings me great joy.
And how does it feel? When was the last time you held a 3-year-old?
Oh, not that long ago, because we have like 11 grandkids.
Oh, you're a lucky man. Anytime you're feeling down, you can call one of your children and just say, "I'm coming over. I want to hold Jimmy or John or whoever."
Look, I appreciate what we have, you know, but again, so we have the children, and you know, I look at children and I see their innocence, I see their purity, and they're totally open. There's no guile there.
Yeah.
There's no deceit. So you're dealing with the child at, they're totally trusting at that most basic, innocent level, which is beautiful.
And
it's beautiful.
And when you're holding them or touching them, you can get in touch with that innocence in yourself.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah.
So let's walk through this, and then we do have another caller. Because we're trying our new phone system, Ray.
Right.
You know what? I want you to listen to yesterday's show. Go on yesterday's show, and then call us back next week, and then we'll walk through this, okay?
Okay. Good.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for
Thanks
for you're our first caller, Ray.
Okay.
Congrats.
All right. Take care.
Thank
bye-bye. Bye.
Wow. Yeah, Ray has called in a bit over the years. I remember Ray very well.
And he's consistently feeling all the time, and it makes him a fascinating person. And someone who doing this releasing work can access that innocence and that joy, those more positive emotions. Because, you know, Armand used to say, we're not supposed to be feeling bad.
Let's take another call.
Even
we
if
have,
it's pain.
We have Rose on the line. Oh. She wanted to call and talk about her anxiety. Hi, Rose.
Hello. Hey, Rose. Hello, Rose.
Maybe we don't.
Okay.
All right. Maybe we
call
lost
us
Rose.
Back, Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get this, Ben. This phone system's
going to be great. 212-757-5555. That's the number to call. 212-757-5555. Whoa.
There she is.
Yeah,
or somebody else. Let's see.
All right. 212-757-5555. That's the number to call. We're testing out our new phone system. Oh, there it goes, Rose. Yeah. Let me just answer this call real quick. And we're learning on the job here. It's a brand new phone system.
And it's going to be great. It's going to help us get to more callers and help you get to more people out there.
Hi, Rose.
Hello.
Is this Rose?
Hey.
Hi, Rose. Sorry about that. How are you?
It's all right. I'm good. Thank you.
Thanks for calling us back.
No problem. I know technology right now.
Yeah, we're learning a whole new thing.
About that.
All right. So what's going on with you?
I was listening to the last caller, and few things I want to say real quick before I touch on the anxiety, which actually correlates. So as an empathetic person, as an empath, feeling everything, I feel like where we are today in history, a lot of the anxieties, I know for me personally, as well for the last caller, have to do with all the pain and the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as an individual who is a woman, who also is Spanish and lives in America, you know, I have dealt or felt a lot of different forms of discrimination, sure, which lead to anxieties.
Mm-hmm.
And even more so, those anxieties. I know you guys touched on anxiety actually being a form of fear, and mm-hmm, I guess not being able to release that once you have it. And
so
I've been noticed. Yeah.
So let me ask you: is the feeling a sense of hopelessness?
You know, in a way, maybe so, but I don't consider myself a hopeless person.
No.
Because I'm very active. Yeah.
You sound like a very active person and pretty upbeat too, despite this anxiety. But hopelessness.
Thank you.
Yeah. So hopelessness is a feeling, and you know, I hear you automatically, you know, defending yourself, saying, "Oh, but I'm not a hopeless person." I'm just asking about the feelings, because what Brenda was showing us yesterday is that the only way to release a feeling is to let yourself have it. And so I think this anxiety is missing, you know, the feeling behind it, which is a sense of hopelessness. Because if you're a woman and you're being discriminated against and you say you're Latin American? Or
correct.
So, you know, so the deck is stacked against you. And these things get triggered, I don't know how many times a week. Maybe there is a sense of hopelessness behind it. And that's
so now that you say that, yes.
Great.
I can look within myself, and the last time it happened, you know, I found myself crying and like angry, mm-hmm, angry just for, you know, all women in general feeling that women in themselves, whether they're Black, white, Hispanic, you know, all deal with some form of oppression or discrimination.
Yeah. So just for now, can you feel that hopelessness for all of these women and yourself? So just, you know, I hope you're not driving, because I'm going to ask you to close your eyes.
All right. Okay.
So feel that hopelessness, you know. It's a chronic thing that you have to endure. So just feel it.
Thank you. I will.
And can you step to the side of it right now? Just step to the side of the hopelessness right now. Yeah, that's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you need. So what I'd say is to spend some time with your eyes closed when you see this feeling, because I think it's a hopeless feeling that you're fighting. And to get on top of it and to get to the joy that's waiting for you is to say, okay, thank you for coming. I'm going to let you go now.
Well, I'm going to be doing that every day.
All right, Rose. So nice to hear from you. Thanks. Keep calling us.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
And the big thing too, right, is that we are senior to our emotions.
There it is.
Yeah.
We keep saying, but also we need to have them though, Ben. You know, I think for Rose there, it's important for her to see which one is it. If it's anxiety all the time, the chances are it's something else. If you're angry all the time, chances are there's something else. And so you need to be able to differentiate and really get to what's underneath it. And next week when we talk about cognitive behavioral, that'll help.
Let's take another caller. We have Nick on the line.
Hello, Nick.
I'm not Nick.
Oh, okay.
Right.
See, we have multiple callers. What's your name?
My name's BJ.
Hey, BJ.
Hey, should I go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go on,
Nick.
Go on.
Nick has to wait.
Okie doke. So I wanted to say how I deal with my feelings.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. Please do.
A couple of them. Not all my feelings, but just some of them.
Sure.
I wanted to say a couple of things before I say that. They're very short, though. One is that I'm not looking for advice right now.
Okay.
Or suggestions.
You got it.
The second is that I do not really try to release my feelings. I wasn't listening yesterday,
uh-huh,
but I think I do what Brenda said to do, which is I accept them and then let them go.
Wonderful.
And the feelings I'm going to speak about, if it's okay, is first of all, let's say sadness.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Even if I feel it deeply, I kind of let myself go into it or figure out what it's about and what, if anything, I can do, either about the feeling or about the situation or combination of situations that's causing the feeling. Mm-hmm. If there's something I can do, I either do it or plan to do it. Mm-hmm. And if it's just about my feelings, and that's the way it is, I just have to kind of accept them for the time being because they're related to the situation that I can't change.
Right.
That's what I do about sadness.
Okay.
Did you want to ask me anything about
well,
that?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, just not to give advice, but just to ask, do you just let yourself have whatever the feeling is? Instead of trying to figure it out.
Because not only do I do that, but if I talk to someone about it, which I often do if it's intense, the very next day, sometimes the next hour, it's like gone, and I haven't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gone. And so if I talk to the person like the next day or a few days later and I say, and they'll say, how are you feeling? I'll say, I'm fine. I was fine the next day. It's like if they know me well, they believe it because it happens from time to time.
Right.
If they don't know me that well, if they're kind of new in my life, it's a little surprising, but they accept it because they can tell from my voice that I am fine.
I can tell also from your voice that you've done this a lot. And I
think
sharing it with other people is a way to actually see it for yourself. Sometimes we don't see what we're feeling until we start talking to somebody else.
You're probably right. You know? I didn't think about that aspect of it. My feeling when I share it is that I need to talk. I can't explain it. It's just clear in my mind. I need to talk to someone.
Well,
and
Rose,
if I can't find someone I know, I will call a helpline.
You're doing our work for our audience. Appreciate it. We do have another call. So
give us
a call again, and we'll talk about the second point that you wanted to talk about.
Okay, not a problem. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's 212-757-5555. Again, we got this new phone system. We're very excited about it, but we're still learning it as we go. This is the first day that we've gotten the chance to use it. So we're very excited, but it's not a walk in the park, put it that way.
And the whole board is lighting up. This is great. We've been missing these calls. So
we're still learning.
We're really happy that you're calling us. So
I think we have Nick on the line now. Nick, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. Thanks for calling in. So you wanted to talk about anger today. How do you deal with anger?
Well, I just get angry, and that's how I deal with it. And then it goes away after a while.
Do you ever feel bad about getting angry?
Well, I mean, I'm turning 30 here tomorrow, and I figured it's ripe old age of 30.
Okay.
One of the worst things you can do with emotions is to get upset about the emotions you have.
Uh-huh.
So people who have to go to they have to go to psychologists and all these sort of things to get checked out. A lot of the time, it's because they think too much about the emotions they have rather than just having them.
Mm.
Because they'll go away if they're negative.
Well,
it's not going to last forever.
I kind of agree on one level, but there are some people that are so locked in. I mean, have you ever seen a chronically sad person or depressed person?
Oh, I probably have. I probably didn't notice them, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, that's sort of me being a man, I guess, in this day and age. But I don't. Yes.
How are you with sadness?
With sadness?
Yes,
well,
sir.
I don't really get sad.
Uh-huh.
People do try to miss, though. Like lately, you're turning 30. And, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, I see what you're doing. And I tell them, it's like, this is not, we don't need to, take all of these stereotypical ideas we have about things and sort of project them out of our mouth without thinking about them.
Yeah, sure.
And so, I don't know. I also think that men have a difficult time dealing with sadness and these emotions. I think the default emotion for men is to be angry rather than sad.
Yeah.
Yet,
you make a good point. You make a really good point.
Well, there's actual scientific evidence for this, too, in terms of the chemical construction of the endocrine system.
Uh-huh.
Men, testosterone, when there's a negative effect that happens to someone, some sort of negative action, testosterone leads men to be angry. Well, the estrogen in women actually can help them produce more tears.
Mm.
And so, in a way, the feelings may be the same that a woman who's crying and a man who's angry have. It's just the actual chemical composition of the person is causing the reaction to appear differently outside.
Yes, indeed.
That's a good point. I never thought about it that way.
He's right. I mean, oftentimes a woman's tears are, there's anger behind them. Tears are a safer emotion for a woman.
And anger is safer
for a man. And anger is a much safer emotion for a man. So for a woman, sometimes when they're crying, there's often an anger behind it.
But, and likewise, a man could be in a rage, but it could be masking a sadness.
It absolutely can. Yeah. But I'm interested about this research.
An interesting natural experiment that's developing on this front.
Yeah.
Anger and sadness, man and woman. So transgendered people actually have, transitioning from female to male, have reported after they undergo testosterone treatment that they have difficulty crying and that they feel angry, and they actually have to relearn how to express the emotions that they were used to having and expressing by crying by doing something else when they have more testosterone in their system.
Fascinating stuff. One thing, we want you to write us at positivemind@wbai.org to tell us where we can get the same research you're talking about.
Well, this was actually an interview on, I hate to say it, but...
don't say the station.
What's that show?
But
no, it's This American Life.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is this past weekend?
Oh, wonderful. So we'll look it up. What about that? I mean, what is a good question for you, since you're very comfortable with the anger.
I don't get angry that often.
You don't. What's your most common emotion?
Oh, nothingness.
Nothingness.
The great nothingness.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the beauty of the nihil. I'm a nihilist, so it's the beauty of the nothingness of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great emotion to have.
Yes, it takes a lot of strength to be able to bear that, to endure it.
You sound like quite the stoic, Nick.
Well, I mean, you know, what did James Joyce say? As in the Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, as the artist is walking along, Stephen Dedalus, he says you have to suspend your emotions in order to observe the world.
Right.
And in a way, I think that that's actually true. So,
are you? I think you're right. I think there is something to that. The important thing is when you can turn it off, though.
Nick, we have another call coming in, so I want to thank you for your time today. I appreciate your contribution.
Thanks, Nick.
And then keep listening.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. You have a good day.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
So we got maybe time for one more quick call. Let me put this call
through.
We missed
our second clip today.
We did. Well, we got a lot of phone calls. Let me put this caller through here. And again, you're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. Today we're talking about a variety of emotions, anxiety, anger, and how people go about dealing with them and releasing them. And we have Adam calling from Manhattan. Adam, we have just about 3.5 minutes. I'm sorry we're so pressed for time, but thanks for your call.
Hello, Adam.
You there?
How are you?
Adam, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm on the air.
You are on, sir. Go right ahead.
Well, let me preface the call by first saying that when I was also the ripe old age of 30, like Nick is right now, tomorrow, and happy birthday, Nick. We're talking about 14 years ago. I used to listen to Armand.
Yes, sir.
And I love Armand.
You bet.
I love the guy.
Did you listen to his birthday broadcast we had for him?
You know what? Tuned in for some time, but I didn't realize you were doing the birthday.
So it's on WBAI.org. You can get the whole show. It's his voice, the whole show. And it's about, you know, his favorite things, what he valued.
So, well, let me tell you, he was a great man.
We valued him also, so appreciate you.
Great. Great man, Armand.
For
and
sure
what a loving guy he was.
You bet.
You know, I just want to say, you know, everyone, you're talking about anxiety, anger, depression, you know, and I go through these things. You know, I have a 14-month-old son at home, been divorced once before, which was hell with a custody battle.
Right.
You know, and it was very, very depressing, very, you know, anxiety-ridden times for me. But
Do you let yourself feel sad about that?
You know what? When I look back at those times, yes, you know, I get a little sad over it because you know, the custody battle with my daughter, who's now 18 years old, you know, it was rough time.
I hear it, you know, Adam, and I think it's still here. I think it's, you're carrying this around with you. And I'm wondering if you actually take time just to be by yourself and welcome this sadness, because I do hear it. We don't have the time to go into it today, but it sounds like yesterday's show would be a big help to you to really welcome the sadness. And
well, I do.
You do.
I do. And
tell me the last time. Tell me the last time you did.
Listen, I watch when I work a very hard job. I won't get into it, but
okay.
I can't stand my job. But
right,
you know, when I go home, you know, the wife, my current wife, is always constantly saying, "What are you sitting down for? I need your help." I'm tired, and sometimes I get home from work. You know, and I put on, say, a show like Little House on the Prairie.
Okay.
Or another Michael Landon great show is Highway to Heaven.
Uh-huh.
And
Bonanza.
You know, they're very, very sad themes, you know, about disenfranchised. And
I think that's what she's really asking you about, you know. I mean, she wants to get you moving so that you won't get sad. And I think that what's missing is you say, "Honey, I am dealing with my sadness right now.
That's right.
Let me go through my sadness, and then I'll be available. But until I go through my sadness, I'm not going to be available. So stop trying to manipulate me and getting me to move."
And I also want to just say, a lot of the listeners, a lot of people out there that are feeling these emotions and anxieties are, you know, taking it out on the people around them, their pets, their this, their that, you know.
Adam, listen, yesterday's show, I want you to listen to it and call us again. We have to run for today.
I'm going to call you back, and we'll talk. And I just want to let you know, I do have my own show every Saturday morning on cityworldradio.com at 10 a.m. It's called It Is What It Is.
Yeah.
Very cool. So we'll check it out.
It is what it is.
Give us a call next week.
Thanks, Adam.
We'd love
you
to hear back from you, all right?
Sure.
Take care, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM.
Hey, it worked, Ben.
The phone system worked. We're still learning. We're going to master it. We'll get much better at it. It was a little wonky moving calls around.
But
we have a much
better
phone system.
It's great to see the whole thing light up instead
of
one call at a time.
I mean, we haven't shared this with you, but this has been in the works for months.
Yeah.
And now we finally have it, so we're very happy. You've been listening to The Positive Mind. We're here every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donoghue,
next week, as always. CBT.
Talking about cognitive behavioral therapy next week. And you can reach us at positivemind@wbai.org or contact Kevin directly at kevin@thepositivemindcenter.com. Take care. We'll be back.
Or call us.
Give us a ring. Yeah, you can always give us a ring. 212-757-4488. We'll be back next Tuesday, 1 p.m. That's right. All right. Take care.
Baseball.